Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 34. Our air date is Sunday, October 20th, 2024. I am your host, C. Willie, joined again this week by the lovely and talented...
Butterpeak?
And she's keeping me around. We're going to have her tested. We're not sure why, but I'm still here in the seat. Tonight, though, we have, and I mentioned this as we first introduced ourselves to each other as we came on before the show. I think the cool level on the show tonight has risen by about 10 points. He is an Air Force veteran, he is a chef, and he is a musician, in addition to being a strong family man as well. We're fortunate tonight to have on the show John Eason. John, welcome. And, you know, we mentioned a number of things there, and I know, and we'll talk about the military background and the things that you're doing with that now today a little long, later on in the show as well, but your background is amazing. You know, you've done a myriad of things and ended up now in music and doing some great things with that. Tell us about how this came about. How did you get to where you are today?
You know, it's funny, too. We left a lot of things out because we haven't updated that in a little while. I've added some to that resume. But, you know, I grew up cooking with my family and stuff, and big cooking family. You know, being down south, my grandmother was just like most people's grandmothers down south, and I paid attention. I've always had a love for it. And my mom taught me a ton of stuff. In fact, when my grandmother passed away, my aunt and my mom and then all the cousins, nobody got the recipes. I did. So I was pretty honored, to get those. You know, those are definitely a family heirloom. But, I was doing hotel and restaurant management, when I got out of high school and, wanted to go into that, and a culinary school called me and they said, "Hey man, do you want to, come up here and go to culinary school? It's an applied course. You'll have an associate's in a year." And I said, "Well, I ain't got no money." And they said, "Well, you can get student loans," which, but being young and kind of inexperienced, I said, "Well, heck yeah." So I think I got approved and I told my dad, I said, "Hey, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. I'm going to culinary school in New Hampshire." And we were in Mississippi at the time. And that was really the start of my travel and go. I very much new places, new things. And, did culinary school, came back and worked, and lost a bakery during Hurricane Katrina. Had it open for 2 days, two whole days.
Oh, my.
And destroyed it. And, you know, luckily I didn't have a ton of money into it. It was a small operation we had started. And then I went and hauled debris down in New Orleans and really decided that was not something I wanted to keep doing. Ended
I can
up
understand
joining
that.
The Air Force. It had always been something I thought about, and decided on that one. And because it's more technical, more engineering type thing. And I did 8 years. I did 5 deployments over to Iraq and Afghanistan. And you know, I'm really thankful for it. It gave me a lot of experience that I never would have had normally. And people all the time, I'll tell them, they're like, "Did you like being deployed?" I said, "I love being deployed. For certain things, you think that it's scary all the time, but there's a simplistic side to it, and it's really your brain doesn't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that we worry here. So there's certain stressors and everything. Plus, you're getting to see something. You're with your brothers, you're with your sisters, and it's just a different type of thing. I mean, I tell people one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen was we were snowed in Kabul for like a week. And you would come out and just white mountains all over the place, just gorgeous.
That's interesting that you can find that kind of beauty in what otherwise would be a negative situation. And I would imagine that's part of the musician or the artist in you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Well, we certainly thank you for your service. Quarter Peep joins you as a fellow vet, and I'm humbled. It's something that I always thought about, but never pulled. Well, pulled the trigger maybe isn't the best analogy there, but it's. I admire and always have anybody that has served the country in that kind of capacity. So you've done that. You had that experience. You came back. Is that when the music began?
Well, again, from when I was little, I kind of did music. My dad was musical. He was in a Southern rock band when I was younger, and he kind of stopped that to make sure I was taken care of. You know, I was the firstborn. His band's name was Cooterfoot.
Okay.
And but okay. They played a lot around the South.
Yeah, I can imagine.
At one point, you know, so he was doing the thing. Dad's a really good musician. And, you know, it's one of those, after I got up and started doing this, I was like, wow, I can't imagine giving this up and doing music and everything a little bit. There's always that side of you that's like, man, like he gave up a lot.
Yeah.
But I did band and I did, you know, different things. And once you kind of, as you say, grow up and get a real job, I could never get rid of that itch of music. And so, I got a free guitar. I think it was on my first or second deployment. And I tried to learn to play and it was a struggle. That first couple months of learning to play the guitar and learning to chord and stuff, it's frustrating. Sure. And so I'd put it down and I'd pick it back up. But on one of my last deployments, I started just writing things down in a notebook and trying to write some songs, simple stuff, and playing. And it kind of stuck. Then when I got out, again, I had to get a real job. And I put it back down again. And then finally, I had a pretty bad couple years with PTSD. And was really, really struggling hard and had to kind of reset myself. I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have been, drinking and drugs and bad stuff and doing enough that it was a fine line if I was going to wake up the next day.
Yeah.
And I picked that guitar up one day and I started playing again and it just felt right. And I started writing again. I started doing things and I'd submitted down here to a company to get a publishing deal, and they accepted me. And I was kind of blown away, so I said, well, I'll be down there in 2 months then. So I saved up. I was given plasma every day to make enough money to get gas.
Sure.
Not every day.
Yeah. Sure.
Just anything I could. I didn't have a vehicle at the time, so I bought a pickup truck that didn't go in reverse. For $700, and I loaded that and my Coonhound up and came down here and was renting a little room and just started doing it. The pub deal didn't end up working out. I just didn't have the same views as that sure. place, but, you know, I got a job and I started learning and working, and now here we are 6 years later, and supposedly it's a 10-year town, so I think I got 4 more years.
Well, and for our listeners, where is here?
Oh, I'm in Nashville. Well, right outside of Nashville in a little town called Mount Juliet.
All right. And been there for 6 years. You've had some success, obviously,
yep.
Going through there. The first song that we've got queued up, and it, you know, and I listened to your music, and this is the hard-hitting, good storytelling that we can all relate to, sort of country music. And the other thing that I really appreciate about your music, and Quarter Peep and I were just talking about this today, mm-hmm. You've got your own sound.
You do. It's unique. It's raw. It's real.
Thank you.
People are going to love this.
We listen to a number of artists, whether they're here or, you know, the folks that we're researching, and there's a lot that you can say, oh, I hear so-and-so in them, or I hear so-and-so in them. John, we listen to your music, and this is John Eason. That's the sound.
Thank you. That means a lot. I mean, I think a lot of that comes from experience. You know, I've lived a lot of life in my now 40 years and done a lot of things, experienced a lot of stuff. And I think that's one of the negatives to me with some of these music shows and stuff, is people are so young going on there and they're thrust into places mm-hmm. and they don't have a voice that they know is their own. And now too, because we in music a lot of times spend a lot of times, even here in Nashville, trying to play other people's music to make a living, cover songs and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're singing with somebody else's voice a lot of times, unless you're focusing on that original stuff. And I mean, I've been guilty of it just like anybody. When I first got to town, I had an idea of what I thought it was, and we wrote some songs, and then I come back and listen to them. I'm like, no, man, we need to keep paring away at it. We need to take some more layers off and really show them what's underneath on things. And I luckily have written most of the songs I've released, I think, have been written with two gentlemen, Hal O'Dell and Zach Hennard. And I'm very blessed to have fallen into that group of guys, because they really helped me explore my voice. And without them, I don't think I would have it.
Well, it's not manufactured music. And we were talking about that with Joe James two or three shows ago, that you're writing for yourself. You're writing for the folks that listen to you. You're not trying to become something that the producer over here at Mega Records wants you to be.
No, I have no. When we sit down and write, we don't go, man, would this get on the radio? What's an idea that we could get on the radio? Yeah. We sit down and say, what do you guys got? What have you been having this week? What's been going on? We've got one that's probably going to get released next year. I think it was 3 a.m. I was sitting here watching this movie about another musician, and I think I was about a half a bottle of whiskey in and watching his life. And everything, and it related a lot to things I've been through, where there's times where I let alcohol control me instead of me controlling alcohol.
Sure.
And I had this idea of this man begging a woman to hide the whiskey, because if you could just hide that from me, I could stay with you just a little bit longer, and I might not walk away. And in times of my life, I've messed up good relationships and hurt good women, because I tend to wander when I get to drinking and doing things.
Sure, sure.
And wander away. So we
brought that up. And again, that's what we can relate to. We've mm-hmm. done that. And I say we, there are a number of people that are watching and listening to this right now that are shaking their heads and saying, yeah.
Yeah, been there.
Done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what no question. Do. I mean, don't get me wrong. We all love a good toe tap and drinking song and everything. But if that's all you are, you know, as they say, you're all hat and no cattle, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and the real songs, tell me about Got My Own Boots.
Well, you know, it irritates the you-know-what out of me. I don't know if you guys cuss on here.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
All right. It irritates the shit out of me when you're putting stuff out, and these people will comment, and especially in this keyboard warrior day that we live in.
Yes.
You'll post a song and you're just trying to share it with people, and somebody, you ain't no Waylon Jennings. You know, you'll never be George Jones and all these kind of things. And don't get me wrong, I love those. I have a Johnny Cash tattoo on my forearm because I relate to Johnny Cash so much. You know, we all grew up on those guys, but I'm not trying to be any of those people. You know, they might have led me along a thing, and they might have influenced me, but I'm not trying to fill their shoes at all. And so we were talking about that, and I'd been playing around with it, I think. And I said, I'm not trying to fill their shoes. I got my own boots. Yeah. And we kind of ran with that theme, and we wanted to pay homage to a lot of the people that have been influences and musicians that I love. Like, I love Howlin' Wolf. One of my favorite songs is Smokestack Lightning, and I love the howl that he does in there. So I wanted to talk about that, and I wanted a howl in the song. So we did a lot of it.
It's perfectly timed too. When you do it, it's awesome. Hey, let's get this one a listen. This is you know the story now. This is Got My Own Boots from Johnny's.
Thank you. told me blues is like gospel, picking the truth out, finding a way. Baptize my soul in those muddy waters, led me to reefer, a killing cocaine. Out of the darkness, the wolf came a-calling. The smokestack around them and gave it to me. The people keep saying you can't feel their shoes.
Yes, sir.
John Eason. Like, yes.
John Eason is setting the record straight. I tell you what.
It's on my playlist, just so you know. Before the show, this was on my playlist.
He's got his own boots. That's John Eason. And, you know, it's an unapologetic, hey, listen, this is me song. And I like that. And again, I say that's John Eason has a sound. This is him. It's refreshing to hear. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, set. And, you know, just trying to put out real stuff, you know. Forget the, oh, this won't fit on radio, this will go on radio, this is acceptable, not. You know, I went into Wright's when I first got into town. They're like, oh, it's got to be 250 at the most. And now on purpose sometimes, I'm like, let's make it 5 minutes then, man. You know?
We'll show them.
With your
that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, too, is what's your process? What's your creative process? You know, part of it is obviously it's very real. This is the stuff you've experienced, mm-hmm. the stuff mm-hmm. that you're working with, the guys that you're working with. It's what they've experienced. Mm-hmm. What's your process when you're putting together your music?
I mean, we really, you know, of course, as songwriters, we're all watching for things that inspire us, align, you know, when you're watching movies or hearing other things, something will click in your head and it'll pop up into you. And then sometimes you've got a melody you're humming. There's all these little things that kind of pop up. But when me and the guys sit down in the room, I swear the first hour is just talking. We just mm-hmm. hash ideas out. And I'm like, I've been going through this. Well, I've been going through this. Or this memory popped up. You know, lots of different things. And so we just kind of try and find that one thing that sticks out, and then we try and scrape all the bullshit off of it and mm-hmm. strip it down to something that's real and relatable with people. And then sometimes, you know, you observe stuff going out in the world today. And I don't like – I'm not one for doing political songs or stuff like that, but
sure.
songs that affect people and songs that, you know, the real little people out there and the people that are suffering and going through things can relate to, because – I think music is a way to reach out to people and say, hey, man, I understand. And
yeah.
in the places that we have with music, I think it's more of our job to let people know that somebody out there understands what they've been through
yeah.
and what they're going through. You know, and if I can do that, I've told people a million times, if one person is affected in a way that saves their life or gives them a better day in any moment, my music has done everything that I wanted it to ever do.
You know, it's really interesting to hear you say that, because really the next two songs that that we've got cued for you, Eulogy of a Working Man and then Brother, I've Been There, do exactly what you're saying. But I'd like to focus on the first one that we've got, Eulogy of a Working Man. I can't say that I ever would have thought I'm going to be listening to a song about somebody who got injured on the job and then what happened to them after that. That to me does not fit what we would all look at as the traditional, this is what a country song is going right. to be. But when you listen to it and you talk about it, you've just made a connection with anybody that's ever gone through this. And I think that's unique and commendable.
You know, it's, I remember when we were talking about the idea, and I'm a big proponent for the little man, the farmers and the truck drivers and all the people out there. Not that other people don't matter. Don't say that. I just sure. relate to it a lot more.
Right.
And we were talking about, you know, the folks that are out there really struggling. And I've been there where you're paying this bill, half of this bill. Maybe if I can get a little gas, maybe I can make it to work or do this or do that.
Yeah.
It's, but you're one car wreck away, you're one injury or ER visit away from, I can't pay the rent, I can't do this, I can't feed my kids. And we really started hashing it out. And Robert Wheeler is not a real person, but we wanted kind of an amalgamation of,
sure.
of people and things that was relatable and, you know, roofer and everything. It just kind of all tied together. But that idea of, you know, getting swept away, and it really is, because if you get injured, your job will fill your position the next day. If you die, they will fill your position the next day. And it really does make you feel like trash, just like I don't matter. And I can imagine that struggle every day of I've got to go, I've got to go, I've got to go. I can't be sick, I can't do this. And I wanted to, again, I wanted to put something out there, and we wanted to write something that said, hey, we honor you, we understand. And, you know, we're here to fight the good fight with you.
Well, and at the time of this taping, We're dealing with everything that's going on in North Carolina and Georgia with the hurricane that came through and the towns that have virtually been swept away. So I know there are a number of people that are facing what you're talking about in this song in one way or another. And you know, we sit back in our homes and things are going well at this time and we don't think about that, but gee whiz, the struggles and the challenges that are in front of somebody that deals with this, and you've captured this in music.
I mean, the one thing I'll say, I've been there, you know, in Hurricane Katrina, losing you know, pretty much everything. We were lucky. Yeah. We had some trees down on our home. We were lucky our home didn't get destroyed. It was a big brick home at the time. But have definitely been there where you're at the bottom, you know.
Sure.
You're below the bottom. And the one thing I can say, and, you know, you'll see it later on for a lot of people, is one step, half a step, quarter step, crawl, whatever it is, there is light at the end of it. And you can find a way.
Just keep going forward.
Yeah. It's one step at a time. And I joke about it, but I relate it to an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So if you never let yourself stop moving forward, nothing ever stops you, then nothing's ever going to stop you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
I like that too. I'm writing that down right now.
Hey, let's give this one a listen. It's something we all can relate to. We've all been there in one way or another, but capturing it in a song is really special. John Eason's Eulogy of a Working Man.
Well, my name is Robert Wheeler, out of Crossville, Tennessee. I was 13 years a roofer, good cash money every week. Well, that ladder slipped beneath me, and I fell and broke my back. I've been laid up spending money that I never really had. Well, that house of credit cards came crashing down on my dreams. Nothing left but lead and pennies in the pocket of my jeans. Yeah, pink eviction notice I found stuck to my front door. That's what happens when a working man can't work no more. Where will I go? Where there ain't no hungry and there ain't no cold. Why try it all? Spend your whole life running until you fall out and get swept away like trash on the floor. When a working man can't work. Only light is the setting sun. On the table there's a marker, piece of cardboard and a gun. A beggar's sign or a bullet, it ain't that hard to pick. I'm so damn tired of dying slow. Hey bullet, make it quick. Where will I go? Where there ain't no your whole life running until you fall out and get swept away like trash on the floor. When a working man can't work no more. No cool. Why?
I'm a big fan.
Eulogy of a Working Man, John Eason. And I've got to say, and it's interesting to me that you mentioned the Johnny Cash influence. That, to me, I could hear that. You know, I'm not saying, oh, that's Johnny Cash there. I'm saying that influence comes out in that song, because Johnny did a lot of those songs that were, you know, folks can relate to because they're in a bad situation.
Yeah.
This is another. And you know there are a number of people out there that are in that same situation. You just sang their song. It's some very interesting lines in there that really hit hard. And go deep, no question about that. Beautiful song.
Yeah, you know, again, we try not to sugarcoat any of it, and we try and put it all out there. And there's a line; it could be a little controversial. You know, the beggar sign or a bullet.
That one hits hard.
Yeah, but I feel like, and I know a lot of men and people that you're very prideful, and you can't bear to let people down. I think that's a thing that destroys a lot of men out there, of the fear of letting someone down. And when you finally do, they're better off without me type of mentality.
Yeah.
And going through some of my mental health struggles and things like that, you know, I relate to it a lot. And so I wanted to put what I felt they would really be going through and thinking.
On a whole nother level, you're taking your experience and what you've gone through and doing something very positive with it. I wanted to talk about Songs for Heroes. You are the CEO of the Songs for Heroes organization and doing some major things. Would you tell us a little bit about what this entails? I know there is a program, I believe, a festival coming up in November that's all part of this. Let us in on what this is all about.
Sure. Well, you know, again, wanting to give back and work with people and do things, about 2 years ago now, maybe a little bit earlier, I reached out to some of the organizations that work with veterans and do things, and I couldn't get anybody to really message me back. I couldn't find a way to get my foot in the door, and my then just publicist and me, you know, we kind of talked about something like this, but I was going up to Missouri to play an event called Freedom Jam. So they wanted me to come up and play a little bit before and just build some fans. And they took me to this Veterans Museum, and it's now the Mid-America Veterans Museum. And I went in. It was different than any Veterans Museum I've ever been to, because most of them, they have some pictures and they have some artifacts and they talk about what general did this and they give you the timelines and so on and so forth. But they don't talk about that little guy. They don't talk about the people that really made it possible. You know, I mean, honestly, the cannon fodder type people, you know, which is what made wars possible. And I walked into this place and it was completely different. They have this place set up and they have all these individual stories of these people from, you know, the Mid-America type region, and they hunted down their stories and spent time behind it. And they told the stories of these individual little soldiers and sailors and Marines and Air Force, and they told their actual story, and I was just really inspired by it. And so we left there, and I said, got to do something. Got to do something with this. Like, I feel like now's the time. So I talked with Diana, and we started planning some things up there, and we did our first one last year, and we wrote 16 songs over 2 days, and I liked that format because I felt like it was more personal and more raw to, like, let's just power into it. And then the very next day, we put on a concert, and the songs are still raw. It's all emotion, and we played all those songs. We let the veterans come up if they felt like they could do it and talk about it, talk about their experience and bring their families. The public's always welcome. And we just shared it. And we had veterans that told us, I told you things in this 3 hours that I told no one. I've been married for 30, 40 years and I told no one about this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, to me, when you sit down and do some of that stuff, it's like letting steam off a steam engine. If you don't let steam off of steam, it eventually will blow. And it's kind of like that. So we started working and doing that, and we're trying to build the mission right now. It's difficult to build a nonprofit. A lot of people are got their hands out right now with nonprofit stuff, and we're just trying to track along and help people. We've written a couple songs in the interim. We did a mini session back up there, and now this year in November down in San Antonio, we're doing our big event this year, and we're trying to do 20 songs this year and do some more. And we just want to keep building and helping people. And even then, it's not just the veterans. I want to work with people in this organization that have been through trauma, whether it be children, women that have been through assaults and things like that, men that have been through assaults, anybody that feels like I need to talk about this and I don't want to do it through therapy. I don't want to do it through this, or maybe they have been through, but somebody feels like this is a feel for me that I need to do this. I got something to say. And we want to sit down and do that with them. Our goal is eventually to be recording and putting these songs out to share, just like my songs, where people can hear it and relate to it and know that somebody understands. You know, we wrote with a Vietnam veteran, Fred Hudgens, and he's had survivor's guilt for so long about things. And really, he knows it was out of his control, but he felt it. And, you know, his song is called I Apologize. And it was his apology to these young men that he wasn't there with from his hometown. And one of the really hard-hitting ones for me at the end of it, being a Vietnam vet, he said, I don't need your parade and I don't need your medals. All I need is an honest welcome home. And so, you know, those are the things that are coming out of this, and they're just super, super powerful. And to be a part of that and to get to share those stories is just, it's a blessing.
Now, do you have other artists that are participating with you in this, or is this just your group?
No, we have a lot of writers, and we try and get new people involved in it every time we do one of the big sessions, because I want new people to experience this, because the writers are affected just as much as the veterans and the people that we work with, because it's really an eye-opening thing into an area that most people don't get to see and experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try and get a lot of new names. I know we've got Zach Hendard, who I write with, is going to be with us this year. Audra McLaughlin is going to be with us. Joel Jorgensen, my producer, he's on the board, and he did one last year. And then we've got a bunch of Texas writers this year. So it's really exciting. And, I mean, we're always looking for people to be involved, because eventually when we're trying to do daily writes of this with people, whether it be Zoom or in person, you know, we're going to need people and people that want to sit down and have a heart for something like this.
Please keep us in mind.
Yeah, please.
You're talking about this and talking about what you're doing. You know, we do these shows, we do these interviews with various artists, and there is a goosebump moment with most of them. Yours hits even deeper. And, you know, for me, I'm not a veteran, but I'm talking with two tonight. And it's a tough story. It's a tough deal. And we would love to be, I can speak for Quarter Peep, I know, we would love to be a part of this. Where it's appropriate at some point down the road and you have a role for us, please let us know.
I would love to talk with you guys about it. Definitely. We
can, yes, please.
Everybody on the team that we can get. I mean, the goal for me is all of these charities combined is to fight that 22 a day number for veterans. You know, that's a big place for my heart, is to cut down on this mental illness and things that are out there. And if we can help in any little way by doing this and working with people, I mean, we have an obligation. And
well, and this song that we've queued up right now, Brother, I've Been There, and folks, I highly encourage you to get out there and see the video to this, because it's powerful. And you talk about that kind of in the prelude to the video, that we want to get rid of that 22 a day. We want that to be zero. And with an effort like you're talking about and beginning to coordinate here, let's have an effect on that.
Yep.
All
now,
right.
For those who are listening right now, if they want more information on how to donate, where the show is, is there a website that they can go to?
Yeah, if you go onto Facebook and look up Songs for Heroes, it's songforhears. We have donation links on our Facebook. We do have a website that you can go to. And I tell people all the time, I said, even if you don't have the monetary, you know, availability, donating your time of sharing this stuff and sharing the stories, go to the YouTube and share stuff and tell people about it. That means just as much, because visibility helps. It lets people hear the name and lets people see it. You know, we can all help in our little way.
And you never know who that might touch.
Yep. All it takes is one line or one word. Mm-hmm. It just makes their day.
No question. Mm-hmm. Let's give this one a listen. This is Brother, I've Been There from John Eason.
Do you stalk the silence like a hound hunts its prey? Can't keep your mind from racing as it runs away. Do the demons chase you till you're just too tired to sleep? So you numb the world away, but you lose yourself. You're in too deep. Brother! Without crutches, scared you're all gonna fall. Your troubles might be heavy, but you don't have to drag them all. And do you feel alone in the middle of a crowded room? All you want is to get away so you lose yourself in that same dark tomb. Brother!
John Eason, Brother, I've Been There. And I tell you, you know, we have a lot of fun with this show. We've done a lot of things. We've talked to a lot of great people. I think this is one of the most important shows we've done.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we go into these, we don't really know what to expect. Tonight's one of those nights. Just, it's got me completely blown away. John, I love what you're doing. I think the folks that are listening to this tonight, are going to understand that there's a real purpose to what you're doing, and it's something else, man.
Are you getting choked up?
I am. Where do folks find you, John? Where, when we want to know where you're going to be playing, where the band's going to be, where's the best way to track you down?
Well, you know, some people like social media, some people don't. So for you social media folks, if you look up John Eason Music on Facebook or Instagram, we post all our flyers, and sometimes I post things that I cook and different stuff like that. And then if you like websites better, we have a website under John Eason Music as well. And through a lot of work and stuff that I don't understand, we're on the first page of Google, because apparently that's important. and then also, if you want to stream stuff anywhere you stream music, I've got a great group that distributes my music with Smith Music. And so we're on any streaming platform under John Eason. And even your local Touchtune jukeboxes, we're on those. So that's pretty cool to be able to walk into a bar somewhere and be like, hey, listen to this. You know? So
we're going to be in Nashville at the end of October for the Josie Awards. So are you saying that if I walk into a bar, it's going to be on one of those jukeboxes?
If you find a Touchtune jukebox, you can have my music playing. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guaranteed it will be.
Yeah.
And it will be played.
We've got two shows coming up next weekend. If anybody's in Missouri, well, this won't air before then. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're a couple of weeks out with that. Yeah, but okay. Before that November show, if folks from the public can come to that, your Songs for Heroes.
Yeah, we're going to have that. It's November. Let me do the calendar check, because some days I can't even remember my name right.
I can relate.
So our big show will be on the 9th. That's going to be
the 9th.
Okay. And you can find that on the Songs for Heroes website, too, because we just brought tickets live. And we've got a bunch of raffles and things going on right now, too, that you can put stuff in. We got some killer raffles. We've got a new one that I don't know if I can really talk about, but it's a massive, massive gift they gave to us. And like, it's a big money one. We're going to end up doing a silent auction on that one. So
terrific. Okay.
Lots of cool prizes.
Are these auctions that someone can bid online?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll post links to it and have everything up for it.
Quarter Pete might have to bid on something.
I'll say this. It's a trip. And, like, what you're getting for that trip is insane. It's really cool.
Okay.
We will be on the lookout. There's no question about that. John, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for sharing everything. And again, I say this, I think this was an important show. I love your music. Our fans are going to love your music, but it's what you stand for and what you're doing. I think it's awesome. And we appreciate you being with us and sharing it with us.
No, thank y'all for having me. I appreciate y'all reaching out and finding the stuff on the YouTube. I love hearing. We found you and we just loved it. So we had to hunt you down. And
that's exactly what I said. I said, now.
No, I appreciate it. I've had a blast, and thank you for letting me talk. I'm good at that when I get something I like to talk about.
Well, we appreciate it. Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up next?
We have Billy Joe Jones.
All right. We're looking forward to that. She's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be a wrap on tonight's show. Again, I want to thank John Eason for being with us. John, thank you for everything tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And listen, folks, you know where to find us. We're on Spotify and virtually all the other platforms. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always drop us an email at vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. You want to find out where we're going to be and that trip coming up here in another week to Nashville, we're looking forward to, vehiclecitysound.com. We want to hear from you. We want to find more folks like John Eason. Let us know where they are. And please, go on out and support Songs for Heroes. There's some great stuff going on. I think we can all make a real difference with this. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. John, thanks for being here. Folks, be good.